It's an industry that I generally love. I have a passion for. I eat, sleep, I live for fitness.
No, you need to be obsessed. You need to wake up, think about it. You need to go to bed, think about your clients, think about your progress, think about what you can do better.
Genuinely, like, just be like patient and take your time. Like that is like, you've got to take it all in the right steps. You've got to nail what you do in person before you go online.
I don't like to talk about fear. The fears is usually something that makes your worries real.
Welcome to the Coaching Ignited podcast. I'm your host, Alex Povey. It's great to have you here. This show is all about peeling back the curtain on what's going to help you build the fitness business you truly want. And each week we bring on a new guest to share their stories, insights, and strategies so you too can take action and apply what you learn. The podcast is released every Wednesday on all the major platforms, including Spotify and iTunes. So make sure you go give that a subscribe, guys. Now, if you're a personal trainer in a commercial gym with 500 plus members and you want to fast track your income growth and learn how to sign multiple new clients a week, reach out to me personally through Facebook or Instagram and just drop me a private message so we can get the conversation started and see if you could be a good fit for one of our programs. All the links to my social can be found in the show notes so you can connect with me there. Now let's get into this week's episode. Enjoy the show. All right, so we are live, guys, and we're back with another episode of the podcast. Really excited to welcome on Joe from Bluestone College today, and he's going to be sharing some interesting insights, I believe, into the industry, what's going on, some trends. We've not actually had anyone on from a training company before, so this is going to be an interesting one for anyone listening. So, Joe, I just want to say thank you so much for taking time out of your day. I know you've got a ton of things going on at the moment, a lot of amazing things happening within your company, and it's growing really quickly. But I just want to say welcome. And for anyone who doesn't know who you are, can you give us a little bit of a background into what you do?
Great. Good to be here. It's my first podcast, so I'm looking forward to it. My background, I qualified when I was younger, so I made the choice during my A-levels that qualifying as a lifeguard, gym instructor and PT was the best route for me moving forward. It's something that I was really passionate about, always into sport. So I thought, how do I make it into a career? Spent a number of years personal training, specialised in exercise rehab. From then, I then moved into the lecturing side because I quite like reading and like academic studies. Spent probably 8 years doing that. And then I've kind of moved into the management side and running my own training company. I've seen, you know, there's a lot of PTs qualifying now that probably aren't as good as they could be. And it's ever changing. So the ACSM are always bringing out new guidelines on what people need to study. You know, the country itself is in a bit of turmoil with obesity at the moment, so it's quite an interesting time to qualify in fitness and sports massage as a whole. So I oversee quite a lot. We train a number of PTs here in the UK. We send some of them over to Europe to train. So I'm quite in bed with the fitness world, and it's something that I thoroughly enjoy.
So what made you want to set up your own company doing this and train personal trainers? What did you see that was maybe missing or what you could do better, which is currently being offered in the industry right now?
I think people leave sixth form, people may leave university with a sports science degree, and they find themselves lost in as well. Where do they go with their sports qualification? Personal training is an area that I personally have a lot of success from, and I liked it a lot. So I still think that PT courses these days can be improved. The guidelines are around education and SIMSPA and reps, which kind of overarch the quality side of what a provider would offer, have changed massively. The government has now released new guidelines of to what the new qualifications should look like. So that's now changed to include a lot more business element, which is a mandatory part of courses. And they started to recognise portable equipment as a key area for PTs, so such as suspension training, TRX training and kettlebell. So they're now mandatory as part of the qualification. And I felt that if I had my own business, I could use the government guidelines and add better value to courses that currently are out there. Even from, you know, which venues do you train at? So we currently use the Village Hotel gyms nationwide, which are quite good gyms, they're extensively well equipped. So we use those. And also contact times. Again, people may qualify in sport and active leisure or fitness or massage outside of their current career. So looking at evening, weekend courses, 1 or 2 days a week. So they're quite innovative models. People are doing them now. But to do them right with good success rates is key to me. And then also a big part of that is to look at employment routes. So on courses, look at pairing with big gym chains or smaller local gyms to our academies to push them towards employment. Is that something they want to look at, or self-employment within larger gym chains? And that's what's missing. And more importantly now, it's moving into Spain. So we've now paired with a college in Seville. So they're sending our learners over to Spain to find out what it's like being a PT over in Spain, and also on cruise ships, so traveling with it as well. So that's why I've kind of done it.
Awesome. What are some of the kind of trends that you're seeing right now then? So looking at the market, what are some of the kind of the big changes that people might not be aware of right now that are happening that you can see?
The biggest trend that people are probably aware of is online coaching. There's a lot of guys that speak to us on our courses about going into online coaching, whether it's because it's a social media trend or what their friends are doing. There's more people than ever setting up their online training programs and periodization of plans, food diaries, competition prep, meal prep. They're kind of the big things that people are going for at the moment. Outside of that, I think I'm seeing more people competing in various competitions, from bikini models to bodybuilding competition. I think that's kind of bigger than it's ever been, than I've ever noticed it. And I suppose people are also looking a little bit more how they supplement their income as a PT. So looking at classes, it's not for everyone, I understand that. And not everyone wants to go and teach circuits or spinning or boot camp or Les Mills classes. But a lot of PTs are utilizing that as a tool or a way of getting new clients or to supplement what they do as a PT. So they're the bigger trends that I see.
Yeah, I totally agree with the online stuff. We're seeing that a lot in our business and in the market. And it seems like there's a new guru or mentor offering online training every single day. Like there's always someone new popping up in the marketplace. Like let's dive into that. Let's unpack that a little bit. What are your kind of views and opinions on online training and the whole market as you see it evolve in front of you?
It certainly has a place. I think it's good for a PT. I think if you're good at writing programs, you're good at giving nutritional advice, I think there's a scalability side to that. You can work with more clients in a bigger geographical spread than you'd ordinarily work at in your local gym, say. It's different. When I qualified as a PT, 2003, 2004, it was very different. We didn't have technology like we have today. I think social media's obviously had a big impact on that. And I think it's good. I think it works for a lot of people. I think if you're going to do online PT, you have to have clients that are motivated. I think the whole old schoolness of personal training would look at, well, how are you correcting technique? How are you checking form? How are you giving one-to-one guidance with them on the gym floor, per se? That would be a bit that would maybe concern me as a PT. But I think the growth of any PT business, online PT definitely has its place. And even working in different countries from online PT, I think it's great if you can do that. And if you've got the technology and you've got the money set up to have your own website and do your own blogs or vlogs, I think that's great. It's just something that I have never experienced myself. But I've got two or three guys that work in the office who both do it and take part in online coaching, and it seems to work really well for them.
How do you think it will kind of affect, if at all, the traditional model of like face-to-face training? Do you think it's going to change the market and evolve over time, where you're just going to see everyone going online and just using technology to leverage training? Or is face-to-face always going to have its place?
A technology taking over. So you've got health clubs now who would employ one really good class instructor, and they would utilize projectors and screens and project that class nationwide. So from a cost perspective, there's obviously a bigger outlay at the front, but from a staffing perspective, you can have one really good tutor who may do a circus class, body combat class, and they could stream that to 50, 60 clubs nationwide. So that's becoming more prevalent in the industry now. And even on TV now, you've got the Peloton. So the home spin unit that you have that you can log in on your front room and watch sessions nationwide and join up into live sessions. That's taking over. So I can only assume that online PT is going to be large. I think PTs don't like paying gym rent. I think that's a big bugbear of theirs. And I can kind of completely agree with them in that respect in some cases, especially in London. So I think it will. I think you're still going to have face-to-face clients who are going to want that and more prevalent in exercise referral, injury rehab. That's kind of going to be compulsory, I think. But yeah, online coaching is going to take precedence. I'm sure it is. And people are starting to release books and vlogs and YouTube videos. From an engagement perspective as a PT, there's never been a better time to reach your demographic and your audience than digital-based training. So I'm sure it will go from strength to strength.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how it unfolds. And we were speaking just before we jumped on and started recording about some like statistics and stats. And I think maybe the common perception from a lot of people is like the market is super saturated right now and there's a ton of personal trainers and maybe not enough opportunity. But like, what's your perspective and what are the stats that you're seeing?
Well, the recent studies that come out about the amount of facilities that have opened, you've now got over 7,000 gym facilities in the UK, which is huge. The latest stats say 1 in 7 people in the UK now have a gym membership. That's not to say they go to the gym, but they are members. So you're looking at nearly 10 million people that have got gym membership. Coupled with the stat that 63% of adults currently sit in the overweight or obese category, and again, into children, you know, you've got 1 in 5 4 to 5 year olds that are obese or overweight, and 1 in 3 of 10 year olds that sit in that. The market has changed. There's more obesity. I think there's more awareness of fitness now. So yes, there are a lot of people qualifying as a PT. There are also a lot of people who may do PT part time. I think that's become more prevalent as well. I think people like to do personal training outside of a 9 to 5 job. That's becoming more common. I think the industry is struggling with PTs who are adaptable and resistant to change. I think the more PTs you have out there that are resistant to change and can adapt what they currently do for the market, the better it is. My biggest bugbear, I suppose, in training world are people who have done online courses who don't have any interaction. And maybe they've been set up to fail by their training provider or college from the outset because they're not on the shop floor. That would be the bit that I think people are leaving the industry because they're not comfortable with working in a live gym environment. But more than ever now, you know, the annual spend, even on obesity now, is more than they spend on the police, fire service and the law system combined. It's now being spent on obesity or treatment of obesity and diabetes-related illnesses. So it's huge and it's going to grow. And the current stats say by 2050, they think that probably nearly £60 billion is going to be the cost for overweight, diabetes and obesity. That's going to be the cost to the NHS and the wider cost of society, which is huge. So they need to tackle it moving forward.
Yeah, you talk about like PTs needing to be kind of nimble and flexible and kind of adapt with the times, Joe, like how things are changing. Well, can you elaborate on that? Can we unpack it a little bit in terms of how people need to be versatile in this market and be able to move and pivot?
Yes, I think we speak to a lot of people who want to be PTs. People don't realise that you're going to have clients that want to train pre-work hours. So you're going to have guys and girls that come to you want to train at 5 a.m. So you need to be out there early. You know, you're going to have clients who work 9 to 5 who still want personal training. So as a PT now, you have to be prepared to work early mornings. You have to be prepared to work late at night. You've got to be prepared to travel as part of your job as well, because more people now want to be training outdoors in the home environment. So travel flexibility is key, even to the point where I understand as a PT you may not see it suitable to do half an hour sessions, but people still want to do workplace well-being as well and train half an hour at lunch and do small HIIT classes. That's key. So being nimble and being okay with training early morning, late at night is one part. Moving around and trying to spread yourself out to workplaces and people's homes and different environments, I think that's also key. And some PTs get stuck in their way and think they have to base in their gym 24/7. But moving outside of that environment will give you a bigger audience and certainly a more sustainable business model, I believe.
Mm. So there's lots of different things that people could do when they qualify. So when they go through your programs, they've got various different options. I know you've set up a partnership with DW, right? Is it DW Fitness?
They're one of our employer providers. We have a number, so we work with Steiner Onboard Spa Company. We work with DW Fitness First. And our partnerships really aren't there for us to use that as the sole method for progression into the workplace. What I'm building at the moment is I want to have a corporate partner day where individuals on a course can face-to-face speak to the head of employment for these large gym chains. So you can speak about your gym rent, so you can understand how many hours you've got to work to not pay gym rent. You can understand how much percentage you get of your hourly PT. You can understand their progression routes, maybe the CPD courses they're going to put you on. I want a learner to come out of the program and have options and understand what Pure Gym or the Gym Group or Anytime Fitness or DW, Ballantyne's Gym, Virgin Active. I want people to understand what gyms are offering their employers. So individuals have got the choice to go and work for a gym chain. But on the back of that, I also want them to understand the finances and the business element to setting up their own business and working completely freelance. And I think that's key. And more than ever now, there are more gym chains everywhere. Even in Bournemouth, where I'm based, you've got 5 or 6 major gym chains within a square mile of each other. So there's a lot of opportunity for employment. It's just whether what you want to do as a PT and where you see your progression and your routes of growth, whether they sit in line with those big corporates or not.
Yeah, sorry. I just wanted to elaborate on that, on the question a little bit, because I was going to ask you, like, for a new PT going into the industry, I know they've got all this choice where they could go freelance, they could move into a small studio, go with maybe one of your partners or another mainstream gym and work in those facilities, or even just go online. There's so many different options to people available today. But then a lot of them are difficult to pull off if you've not got any experience in business or you've not been a PT before. Right, Joe? So that there's probably easier.
Yeah, it is tough.
There's easier paths to take, and I'm trying to get to the kind of easiest route for people to start. So where would you suggest newly qualified coming into the industry, where would you place yourself at least for 6 to 12 months to kind of cut your teeth, build confidence, maybe build some clients, and then move on to do what you actually want to do? Like, how would you approach that kind of scenario?
Well, I suppose it depends on the individual and their circumstances, their financial situation. I think the best way is to start as a gym instructor. If you want to enter the industry, if you start as a gym instructor, more often than not now, you're going to be on PAYE. So you're going to have a fixed salaried income for a period of time, whether you do that 25, 30 hours a week. I would utilize that to understand the demographic of your gym, understand how PTs operate around you, and I would definitely try and cut my teeth into doing some classes. I think classes for me was the best route to obtaining a personal training client, because they're going to see you, they're going to trust you, they're going to understand how you operate, they know the kind of music you play in your classes, and you build that relationship. Although it's a slow progress and people see personal training as a quick win, once they've qualified, they're only £50 an hour. The slow progressive route, I think, would be to start as a gym instructor, work your way up, do some classes, find out where you want to go. I also think that when you qualify, you don't know the route you want to go down, whether you want to work in S&C, whether you want to work in exercise rehabilitation, whether you want to go down the manual therapy route. People don't really know the routes they want to progress to. They just start. And I think you need to just find your feet over a good year by doing that.
Yeah, makes total sense. Do you think there's certain things that trainers overlook? So they maybe have like unrealistic expectations of how it's going to unfold or play out when they enter the industry. Where do you see those sort of gray areas that people are a little bit shocked when they have to get into the industry, build a business and go down extra education that they didn't expect they needed?
I think the first port of call is, they may see or hear of PTs doing exceptionally well. whether that's true or not is one part. I think paying for a course, I mean, courses range from £700 to £4,000. So I think, first of all, financially, that's a big hit for anyone to take before they enter a new career. And then the people at fault, I personally blame, would be the training providers who use quite aggressive marketing techniques to get these guys on programs. So I've seen sponsored ads that hit my Facebook and Instagram that say you can earn £60,000 a year as a PT. Absolutely you can, but that's not, you know, month three after you qualify. That's probably 4 or 5 years after you qualify. You could get there in one if you're pretty clued up on what you're doing. So I think the expectations of earning £30-£50 an hour, £100 an hour, you can get to that level, but don't think you're going to have 8 hours a day booked. And I think that's also the key. And like I say to a lot of the PTs coming through here, although PT one-to-one face-to-face is an hour, sure, it's the programming, it's the periodization, it's the nutrition planning behind, it's the planning of session. A lot of that is behind the scenes work that you don't see that PT should be doing to do a good program. So for every session, it may take 2 hours to plan and prep that session. It may not, depending on how confident you are, but they don't see that. And I think people walk out of a course, think they're going to earn 50, 60 grand a year. And within the first 3 months, if they struggle to obtain clients, they then either choose a different career or decide to do further courses. Even then, people looking to do further courses, it's a good career. I started at 16. I'm 16 years down the line. It's a slow burning career. You just got to build stability and longevity. That's the key thing I would say to people. No one starts out in any job role in any industry earning the big bucks. You have to start off small and work your way up. And for me, you choose fitness for a career that you're going to really enjoy and embrace. And it's a lifestyle choice as well. But you can make good money, but it takes time.
Yeah, I'd like to dive into kind of your personal experience, if we can, Joe. That would be really insightful, I'm sure, when you first started in the industry and you started out. What were some of the things that you did that worked, or maybe some of the things that you did, you look back and think, why was I doing that, or why was I doing this? Can you give us a kind of bit of an insight into that?
Sure. When I started, I was young. So I was 16, still living at home. I had no outgoings really, other than my car and my insurance. So I suppose I was in a privileged position where I didn't have to make money immediately, so I could take time and meander through my fitness career. So starting off, gym instruction was great for me. I spent a lot of time locally in a variety of council-based gyms, actually, because they paid better. That was really good for me. I learned off a lot of PTs who've been in the industry for a while, learned what worked for them and what didn't. And certainly the demographic where we are is very different to what you find in other areas. So it's quite elderly here. So naturally, my progression was to work with the elderly and work with exercise rehabilitation. So cardiac rehab was a key thing that I worked in. So it's not everyone's idea of good PT or a PT where he's not like S&C involved, you're not HIIT training, but I found it quite enjoyable, and I got a lot from that. So I worked with probably 3 or 4 years doing that, which was exciting for me. And I continued that even when I was lecturing, I was still doing PT. PT clients, I worked a lot with sports people. So I've worked quite a lot with teams locally, non-league football, primarily working with pre-season training, working on specific positional play and the fitness attributes that those players needed to have. Again, I continued that when I was lecturing. And then I did start doing some PT from clients' houses, but that was when I was kind of further down the line in my career. So I would actually have clients who had gyms in their homes, or I'd train them in their garden. That's obviously seasonal as well. But I started doing that, and that was quite enjoyable for me. The most enjoyment I had was in exercise rehabilitation, because these are people who have been identified by physios, NHS, cardiologists, that they need to go and get fit, because it's a key point in their lives. If they don't make this lifestyle change, you know, it doesn't look good for them. So I found that really beneficial, and contacting people who are 55, 60, 65 who have never been in the gym environment before, to then get them into a gym environment, to see them thrive and enjoy that environment. I got a lot of satisfaction from that. So I learned a lot from that, loved that. S&C was never really my thing. Weightlifting, body comp, that's not my kind of training. It has its place. It's just it's not how I'm built personally, so I don't do a lot of study in that area. So I kind of followed the areas I liked, which was helping people and sport, and then lecturing. I like lecturing, so I still do a bit of that now, actually, and that's something I get a lot of enjoyment from.
Nice. You talk about like targeting a specific type of clientele there. Did that take you a while to figure that out? And what were some of the benefits of really just fine-tuning who you were trying to work with and target that particular kind of demographic? How important was that for your business?
I think sometimes you've got to go against the status quo. If you go to a gym environment and you've got four other PTs there and they're all doing the same thing, I think it's kind of tough as a newbie to cut your teeth into that environment, because you've got people that have been there 2, 3, 4 years. The membership or the members will definitely know what they do. So if you're coming in and offering the same services as they are, you don't stand out. So in any gym, definitely find your USP or find the market that's not being catered for, and there will be a market there. And because other PTs in the same environment don't necessarily agree with what you're doing, it doesn't mean it's wrong. It just means that's not their style. Every PT's got their style, whether it's nutrition, SC, whether it's sports, everyone's got their own thing. Body comp, that's fine. Pick your niche, and the more niche you are in the gym environment you work, the more clients I think you're going to get. I think if you try and follow what everyone else is doing, you're in for a rough ride, because you then really have to battle against other PT's in the gym, and that could be detrimental if you're going to go in and take business from people and start poaching business. That's when problems occur at work. If you can go in there with your own USP and your own market, then I think you're going to get on well with other PTs, and it should encourage a referral process. Not always the case, but it should encourage a referral process, because you're not in someone else's patch. And I think the collaborative approach between PTs is key for any gym success.
It's kind of an interesting topic, that one, because there'll be a lot of PTs out there wrestling with the idea of like niching down and limiting themselves to a specific portion of the market, and the other part of them saying, well, why don't I just try and serve everyone and help everyone? And obviously you're relaying it back to competition and just not being able to stand out. What would you say to a trainer wrestling with that thought process of, okay, I know I should try niche, but then there's all these other people that I can see in the gym that I could be serving? Like, how do they play that out and make that work?
That is a tough one. In any business across the globe, you have to have a USP. You've got to be known for doing something. And I think that the best way of doing that is to set your stall out early, to say, this is what I'm doing, this is what I stand for as a PT, and these are the clients that I want to attract. I understand business is business, and you're going to want to step outside of your passion, your remit, to cater for a variety of people. The more you can niche, the better it is. And it can be tough. If you may be in a facility now where you think, I really want to work in exercise rehab like I've done, and you may just say that there's no clientele here. The exercise rehabilitation tends to happen out of NHS hospitals or council-based facilities. I mean, that's more often not where they occur. So you may have to move, but if you're doing well, so you don't move. But you don't have to have a niche in that gym. I just think your niche has to be so important. I don't care if you're selling cars, planes, t-shirts, you've got to have a USP. So, and if you don't have a USP, you'll get lost to everyone else. So the best PTs I know have got a really clear unique selling point, and their unique selling point is they work on bodyweight training, or they do outdoor training, or looking at calisthenics. They use a lot of TRX for suspension training. They're really good at kettlebells. They embed martial arts within their training. They're the PTs that people see train differently in the environment, and the clients sometimes are attracted to that different way of training. So although it's difficult, you've got to do it. If you feel that you can't do it straight away because it's going to, you're going to lose money, supplement that with some classes, or do both. I can't tell people how to run their businesses, but USP is so important. You have to build a brand for yourself.
Yeah, I totally agree with it, Joe. And it's kind of like a general practitioner versus a brain surgeon, right? The general practitioner will come in at 8 o'clock in the morning and probably leave at 6 p.m. at night, and they'll service everyone from like snotty noses, rashes, colds, and it's just one in, one out. And they make a decent wage, Yeah. They get paid pretty well. But then on the other hand, you have the specialists, the ones that have picked a niche, a USP, which is brain surgery. And they probably don't have to do as much work because they're working at a higher level. They've only got a few patients. They get plenty of thank you notes. And they get paid a hell of a lot more money. And that's because they've chosen that specific type of person to help, but then become a master at that one thing. And so they get rewarded accordingly, right?
That's a great analogy. Yeah, exactly. If you're a neurosurgeon, you specify your training in one particular area. So you will become a master of an area, jack of all trades, master of none, as they say. So if you can specialize, and you're doing a lot of research and reading and looking at journals and doing CPDs around a particular area, then you are going to master a particular area. And I think that's better than
yeah. So people can start off as a GP, and then they can build their way up to a brain surgeon later on and go into that specialist area. I want to ask you, what excites you most about the industry right now? What is like really making you tingle? Because you're immersed in the industry, you're seeing it at a high level from above with all these different changes that are going on. What excites you the most right now, Joe?
Technology. It's got to be technology. I think the amount of people that are embracing technology, you see people walking down the street with their Fitbits on and they've got their pedometers and they're counting their steps and people looking at MyFitnessPal and tracking their nutritional intake. Technology is making the awareness of fitness and activity better. I think as a PT, you've got better technology now to assist you going towards your goals. There's more money in research, so there's a lot more research going on. But technology as a whole, it's revolutionizing the way that the gyms are working. You know, treadmills, some people may not agree with it now, but they're now more user-friendly. You've now got TV on them, you've got Facebook, you've got Instagram. It's not for those who probably want to train hardcore, but it does entice people to utilize a fitness facility more than what they would have done years ago in this fitness sawdust gym. So it's attracting more people into the fitness world. More classes are happening. Technology's been utilized, like I said earlier, with the screens and playing random classes. So it's going to be it's going to be a big couple of years for technology and how they embed that within the fitness environment to make fitness more accessible to more people. So you have to use technology these days as a PT. You have to. It's changing.
Yeah, it is exciting stuff. And there's loads of new applications and things that are coming out and hitting the market right now, which is great. Like, advancement is cool. What sort of trends are you seeing with courses, actually? So like supplementary courses on top of the level 2 and level 3s, like additional learning. What are you seeing people like going for the most right now?
It's a difficult one. We're seeing a lot more people who are coming back years after they qualify, and they're specializing in exercise referral. That's an area people are looking at because they want to open up that demographic. We're having a lot of people who look to, again, supplement personal training with sports massage therapy. So rather than referring to a sports massage therapist, they're training themselves internally. Nutrition is an area of huge debate. So people like to do nutrition courses. The government themselves have not set guidelines for advanced nutrition courses because they still work on old data and the Eat Well plate. You've got the likes of Ben Coomer, who I know is releasing a new qualification at level 4, I believe, that more advanced nutrition. So nutrition is huge. Looking at endocrinology, looking at hormone imbalance, that's where people want to skill more. And then you are getting people doing the 1 or 2 day workshops in specialist pieces of equipment like TRX, like kettlebells, like battle ropes. But definitely I'm seeing it in advancements to PT. So it's exercise referral, open up a completely new channel, and sports massage. They're definitely the biggest ones that we're seeing.
Cool. So, we're pretty far into this podcast already. I want to dive into a couple more topics just to like circle back to personal trainers and some of the characteristics you see from your learners. So I know you're not like super involved in the training itself, but I've seen you in the classrooms and you probably get to know the students quite well at some degree. Like, can you tell certain characteristics of a student that's that's telling to whether they're going to be a success or not. So can you meet someone and speak to them and kind of tell if they're going to be a good trainer? Do you have that instinct? And if so, what are some of the things that you see that make a good trainer?
I think the yes, you can. I think you can. There are a multitude of different things that you need to look at. The key one is, I think, to be a social chameleon. As a PT, you are going to have clients from all walks of life. So you're going to be with CEOs, you're going to be with MDs, you're going to be with millionaires. If you're lucky, you could be with billionaires. But then you may just have people who are off the street who want to lose weight. So being able to adapt the way you communicate to a variety of clients is key. If you're stuck on one plane and using slang terminology, you're going to limit your market. So you have to be a social comedian. That's the biggest thing I feel. Being presentable. I don't like it when I see a PT who's not presentable. They're not dressed smart. They're not dressed well. I think that's key. Being timely. So making sure you're on time. I'm always running late, but if you're on time, that's really key. And I think the last bit, which is more of an internal trait, and you don't really see that, is being resilient. So I think in business itself, you have to have a large resilient threshold. You have to be resilient because things are going to fail. You're going to fail. Things aren't going to work. And you just need to take it to the next level. When it doesn't work, you need to analyze why it's not worked, analyze what you can do better and move forward. Because if you hit a hurdle, hit a barrier in the early stages of PT, it's very easy to give up, as it is with any business. So being resilient is key.
Yeah, that kind of ties into my question that I normally ask, which is what makes a good coach. And I love the social chameleon one, because you're right, it's literally a social based job where you're constantly having to communicate. And if you struggle in that area, it's going to be difficult. It's going to be difficult to sustain a career in this environment.
Yeah. I think that's the key part, I think, is you don't know who your client's going to be. They're going to be from all walks of life, and you need to be able to have dialogue, open conversation, and it needs to be natural. And if you've got that, that's key. And if you haven't got that and you've got to work at it, try and work at it. But you've got every person you're ever going to know can be one of your clients. And if you can adapt really well to those, that's hugely essential. It's man management. That's what coaches, that's what football managers do. You have to adapt to all of the members of the team, and every single person needs to be criticized or praised in their own way. And you need to learn that pretty quick as a PT.
Awesome. So as we wrap things up, I'd love to just dive into the things that you guys are doing, some exciting stuff that you have on the go, maybe stuff out there that can benefit PTs. Sure. Give us a rundown of what's going on in your world, what you're making available for anyone out there who is getting into learning or wants to do additional learning or wants some new opportunities in the fitness space.
Yeah, we're doing a lot at the moment. We're looking at innovation around learning. So we're looking about how do learners best engage with education and how do they get the most from their courses. We've decided we're not going to be fully online. We're never going to do an e-learning course. It's kind of not our thing. We'll do face-to-face learning. So I think that's key. Anytime you teach a person, not a subject. So all of our courses face-to-face, I think that's key. And I think a lot of providers are losing that. Face-to-face is key. Great environments is key. That's what we're doing. And looking at how you fund courses at the front end. So we've got access to government funded, in which you can fund a course without having the outlay up front, make a contribution once you earn over £25,000 a year, which is the same funding that you get if you go to university. If you're of an age of 19 to 24 and you haven't currently got a level 3 qualification or A levels, the government will fund your course completely free for you. So if you haven't got a level 3 qualification, be that massage or personal training, you can enter this career for free. So we're doing that. And we're now looking at how we move learners into exercise referral. So looking at how that works. So we're doing exercise referral courses. We're doing sports massage courses at level 3, and we're now going into dysfunction into level 4 as well. So looking at about how you can start working with injuries. So we're doing that. So they're kind of the key areas. We're looking at better employer links. And our latest thing, which I was in a meeting this morning about, is sending our learners over to Spain. to understand how personal training looks like in the EU, because we may no longer be in it for the foreseeable future. So looking at how it works when you work abroad, because I think that's key as well. I think if it's happening in the UK, it's happening everywhere else. So go and see what it's like being a PT in a nicer country, maybe the UK. So we're doing that. We're having a good success rate. Our success rates currently stand at 98%. We've won some pretty big awards. So we've won a global award in academic innovation, which is pretty good. And we've got some pretty big awards this year. So enterprising business, which is key for us. I think when you work in education, you don't see it as being a business, but we are a business, but we're very much learner focused in what we do. And looking at resources as well. So trying to move away from the traditional textbooks that you get from a college and looking about, is there off the shelf books that are better? So we've done a lot of research with our learners about what they read and what they study, and working at better resources. So we're doing that nationwide. Our courses hopefully are accessible to most. So we're doing evening courses, we're doing 1 day a week courses, we're doing 2 day a week courses, both weekday and weekend, to make them accessible around other commitments that you have. And we're running all over the country. So we run as far as Newcastle and as far down as Bournemouth. So we've got 10 academies across the country now.
Amazing. Tons going on. A couple of USPs there, which is like a huge success rate, 98%. And then the government funding as well, which is obviously a great way for people to get into the courses, get into the industry, right?
Definitely. I think that everyone pays enough tax and people should have the ability to have education free. You do if you go to university, and the vocational studies is no different. So you should have the ability to enter a career path without having to pay lots of money up front. And you could better use that money. So if you're spending £3,000 cash for a course, you could utilize that to set an online platform up, to set your own website up, to get business cards made, digital business cards made, uniforms made. So it could be spent more widely than education. So that's what I would do when you set your business up. Try and find a course that's funded and utilize the money that you've maybe saved for a course. Use that to set your business up. And I think that's a better way and certainly an almost risk-free way of entering a new vocational area.
Hmm. There we have it. Your first podcast done.
Done.
Awesome. Really appreciate you coming on. A wealth of knowledge and insight there and trends, which is obviously going to be really valuable for anyone listening. But for anyone that is listening that wanted to kind of find out more about what you guys do, we're going to chuck some links in the show notes back to your websites and stuff. But where's the best place to head, Joe, if they wanted to find out more?
Bluestone.ac.uk. So bluestone.ac.uk. Our telephone number is 01202-618-355. And if people actually want to contact me personally, I'm more than happy for people to email me with their questions and responses. So I'm sure you can share my email and the link. I'm happy for people to see that. Because I want to be in the industry. I'm not a hidden man. I want people to be able to contact me if they want.
Thank you for tuning in to this week's episode of the podcast. I hope you enjoyed the show. If you did enjoy it, I'd be really grateful if you could leave a short review on one of the platforms. And if you're a personal trainer in a commercial gym with 500 plus members and you want to fast track your income growth and learn how to sign multiple new clients a week, reach out to me personally through Facebook or Instagram and just drop me a private message so we can get the conversation started and see if you could be a good fit for one of our programs. All the links to my social can be found in the show notes so we can connect there. See you next week.